Hi, my name is Beth. I put together this panel here today, and basically I invite a bunch of ladies whose artwork I admire and who also are involved in like either setting up curation with their own galleries. Some people are doing like zine formats. The Lasai is like a great blog that does like reviews on zines and music and all sorts of other things. And I'll just start off like, this is Lauren Cook. She's from Peachy Keen Collective, which is an online collective that features women's artwork that you like, and we'll talk more about that. Grace Michelli is an artist and writer, and she has her online gallery called Art Baby Gallery, which features young internet-based artists. And then Deanna Cerullo and Emily Thompson are both editors of the Lasai. And we have Dirty Diamonds on the End here, Claire Folkman and Kelly Phillips. They self-publish an all-girl comic anthology. So, all right, now you guys talk about yourselves. We'll start with Lauren. So you sat on the end, sorry.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Full screen all the
way. Wait, is it this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We'll all help you guys out.
Yeah.
I use the internet a lot, but I'm not that good at computers, I guess. My name is Lauren Cook. I go to MICA right now, the Maryland Institute College of Art. I am 19 years old, and I think that the internet is a really important tool for young women making art. And I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about first the kind of work I was making at the time when I started to think about what I was thinking about. And this is a show I had at Pratt that was like not exactly the best, but was sort of a culmination of like a physical space that I felt was like very heavily influenced by an aesthetic, and also the way it was created was very informed by like it being digital, even though it was like in physical space and a lot of it was tactile. Like even though that painting up there, that like, or the textures of the shirt, whether it be like through textiles, which is like featured a lot in this, I still felt that all of those things were like very heavily informed by what I was looking at. And I think that the community that I guess at the time, I was really sad, and that's kind of what the internet serves as a function to for a lot of people, is to go and be sad and see other people that are sad, and you can all like be like, yeah, like, we're all sad, like, together. Like, and that's kind of, like, what I was, like, doing at the time. And it was fulfilling in a lot of ways. Like, now it's not really, like, now I'm a regular human being. But I felt like at the time, that's kind of, like, what I was looking at and the audience I was, like, trying to speak to. And I had a lot of peers that I felt were kind of in the same group, like, heavily influenced by like some sort of aesthetic that we couldn't really put our finger on yet, and were like appropriating imagery from like the early 2000s and the 90s, and like weird appropriation of things that weren't in that far in the distant past. So like bringing them up again was even weirder, I guess, but. This is like another part of the work I made for that show that was also, like, obviously this was all done digitally. I think that the text in it, the choice of text is like a very important thing that reoccurs a lot in this art, and this sort of like digital collage slash like screenshot slash image macro slash whatever you want to call it, heavily influenced by like alt-lit and like internet poetry and those kind of things, but in a more in a less like apathetic dude kind of way, and more of like just sort of like a sad lonely girl who like the only outlet she has is like her computer. And that's kind of what I was like really interested in personally, that there were just so many people who were doing like the same thing as me, and I wanted to be friends with all of them because I thought they were all really cool. So I started Peachy King Collective about a year ago, which has been kind of an ongoing thing that's existed digitally on Tumblr. I haven't outsourced it to anything. And it, I feel like in a lot of ways it's in conjunction with my own process. It's a submission-based thing. But it features a lot of artists from a lot of different places. And this is another piece I made at the time that I feel like the webcam selfie, like just sort of like validating these weird things that I naturally had the urge to do for some reason. And then being like, is this legitimate art? Like, is it something I think like I would present on my website or like my portfolio, and not really like knowing what I was doing, but kind of trying to figure it out. And at the time, that was like a really important like emotional thing to go through and experience. This is like more of that work. And it was all just sort of like done on Photoshop, like nothing too crazy, like all things that you could do like really easily. This is another one. But I would use like cell phone pictures I took. It was very like lo-fi, in a lot of ways that's what the work I was seeing was like, and that was important to me, that it was like obtainable in a lot of ways, that it didn't feel too too high or something and mighty. I'm going to show some work that I think sort of captures the idea of and the sort of like aesthetic and the feeling of like the work that I was being made by my peers that I thought was important at the time. This is like an example of photography that was submitted. I think that the way this image is presented, like a digital collage, it's sort of like very much so like borders on the line between, it's a cell phone picture, but it borders on the line between like, this is really aesthetically pleasing and like I don't really 100% know why, and I'm really attracted to it, but also at the same time, like, what does that mean? Is this like a thing that feels like relevant because why? And I still feel like I'm trying to figure out why I'm attracted to these images and why so many people like me make these images too. Here's a GIF, which I think is also sort of like a great amount of like humor involved, like being like very self-aware of kind of like the fact that the internet and like this platform is ridiculous, and kind of like just like understanding like the place you're coming from, excuse me, the place you're coming from and who your audience is. And I think what was really important is that we were all kind of making work and still are making work for each other in a lot of ways. I think we really want it to be validated by people that we know and respect. There's another GIF. That's the really like great thing about internet platforms, is because GIFs can kind of be displayed in the way they are meant to be. I mean, you could always project them, but I feel like projections sometimes have different connotations. So I think that in a lot of ways that has allowed for a lot of exploration. These are some examples of photography, again, some self-portraiture, that I think is kind of like, sort of like a culmination of this like weird vibe of like, just being like, I really don't even know how to explain it, but just being alone in your room and having nothing else to do. And I think that this image is like a really good example of that. and then again, the image, like the image macro, and the sort of like more like apathetic, like poetry type thing that was happening, I thought was also really important, because I think it's important for especially young women to have a form of a diary or to document like the experiences and processes they're going through. Even if their life is like, because I mean, at the time, like my life was pretty like mundane and like kind of sad, and I think that those feelings like need to be validated by people. And now that the internet does exist, it's like a go-to place for that experience. And I think that this image is just like a cell phone picture with like Helvetica over it, and it's not really anything like too crazy, but I think, for some reason, it still feels pretty important. This is Daniel's work. this is another like image macro, heavily influenced by text. Here's some more, just appropriation of like totally weird like imagery. Like both of these, this one and the previous one, Diana's, I feel like both are kind of just like, the imagery is like, you are forced to make connections between the imagery and the text, and in a lot of ways that's like really fun and interesting, and that's kind of where like the humor in it lies, and that's like a really big part of the experience, I think. Again, with like webcam selfies and references to like other internet platforms, like this piece heavily references like obviously Tumblr, and then like the color like numbers, what are those called? On Photoshop. That's just what yeah. Those obviously are a reference to like different Adobe software, HTML, all those things. This is a drawing that I think is really, I love this drawing by Elle Jackson. I think it's really great. The like bags under the character's eyes, and like this sort of like hunched over, like in your underwear kind of thing, is like a pretty good like accurate depiction of the sort of feeling. This is a GIF, and this is Sharp, which I think is like also pretty good. It's like tongue in cheek in a lot of ways, and I think that you kind of have to have fun with these sort of things, because if you don't, then it'll just become a fully negative experience. Like, being sort of like in between stages in your life and being young and trying to figure things out, like knowing you like art but not necessarily knowing where to go with it, and just kind of like making things that make you feel like, haha, like I made that, haha, that's kind of funny. Like, I think that that is like completely valid, and that's like where a lot of great art comes from, and this is kind of that vibe. I think this is like a really great selfie that references some like a lot of great things. I think it's like a pretty good depiction. This is another webcam selfie that was edited. Like all of these things are so like it's rough, it's kind of like crude, it's done with like the magic of or something. It's like not necessarily like clean, or it's not trying to hide, it's like not trying to hide the fact that it is, like, a Photoshop image. And I think that that is also kind of important. It's sort of, it's, like, the same sort of thing in, like, painting or anything. Like, it's an expressive, like, motion, and it's an expressive, like, texture and brush mark. And I don't know, it's just interesting that there's this contemplative process that comes about taking a picture of yourself and then editing it and then putting it on the internet. And I think that you have to stare at that picture of yourself for at least 5 to 10 minutes, like, if you're gonna do, like, at least, like, even just the littlest bit of editing. So I think, like, that is also sort of a weird form of self-reflection. And, like, looking at yourself in a different lens. This is another one. I'm gonna show some videos now. Will the volume work? Does anyone know?
No. No, there's no for that. So, will it work?
That's okay. Well, yeah, will it come from my computer? Yeah. Oh, wait, it says, why does it say little? Okay, well, I'll just try it out. No. I love this performance so much.
Yeah.
like, what is this weird, like, unspoken, compelling force that drives so many people from different walks of life to want to, like, take pictures of themselves and record videos of them, like, doing ridiculous stuff and put them on the internet? And I'm just, like, really interested in that as a legitimate art thing. And I think that it's, like, this weird, it's, like, art that's driven completely by, like, wanting validation in a lot of ways, even if it's, like, not, which is, like, not a negative thing. I don't think seeking validation or attention from people on the internet is a bad thing. But I think often it, like, is seen as a negative thing, and that's just, like, really what I'm interested in. And I think I'm interested in seeing, like, this weird, like, new form of, like, DIY that's driven by, like, driven by this, like, more, like, this, the open accessibility of, like, the internet and various programs that you can use to edit things and stuff like that.
Awesome. Okay. So I didn't say this before, but I think we could either do Q&A right after everyone, but I was going to say we just go to the end and then we can answer more questions. Okay. So, Grace, do you want to
Yeah, cool. Ahead? Okay.
So hey everyone, I'm Grace, and I'm going to start today by talking, going over like a brief history of my zine production. I went to Smith College, which is a women's college in Western Mass, and there in the spring of 2009, I started a zine called Swimming Lessons with my college roommate Phoebe Harris. It's just a black and white photocopied zine that we printed in the library. It featured our friends, artists and non-artists. And, you know, it was messy, not very well thought out, but the point of it was just to create something and to share it with our friends. So that's where it got started. And then the summer after that, I worked for the artist Kate Hardy. She was a founding member of LTTR, whose initial issue was titled Lesbians to the Rescue, and also in the group was Ginger Brooks Takahashi, who's in the Alien She exhibition. Kate works in lots of mediums, and she was the first person to introduce me to the idea of self-portraiture as an inherently feminist act. So after that, I moved to London. I went to Goldsmiths University, where I continued to publish Swimming Lessons. We did 6 issues in total. I went there with Phoebe, who I did the zine with. And it was there that I started Adult Youth, an art collective, with my friend Hannah Regal, who now publishes Salt, which is a contemporary art and feminism magazine. Adult Youth came into existence because no one in London was going to, you know, ask us to show our work, so we just decided to do it ourselves. We had 2 exhibitions in Southeast London, and that was my first experience curating in a physical space. Okay, so then I'm back in the U.S. at Smith, living in the woods again, rediscovering my teenage self, and I started to write poetry again. I published God Bought Us Beer and Girls at Night on the internet, which was an act of archiving my own work that I'd just made over the past few years, pulling out the things that I thought were important. And then my senior year in college, I curated a series of zines called New Age Visions. So that was the spring of 2011, and that featured other artists. It wasn't my own work. It was in color, had heavy net art, Tumblr vibes to it, and it was an experiment to kind of pull out things from, you know, the endless scroll as you're viewing work online, you know, moving images that only had ever existed online out, like, in print. So then I graduated college, moved home, and like all this teen angst set in again, and I started to make these marker drawings along with zines. I did a few of them. One was called Hey Net Girl Hey, and then there was the digital Valley Girl coloring book after like the Valley Girl coloring book, which came out years ago, and my feminist art coloring book. So, you know, here I was working in a visually amateur style, moving away from a lot of the rules and the things that I was trying to do while I was in art school, and it felt really good to do that. And these new zines, what I liked about them a lot is that they felt really interactive. I would send them out, and then, you know, girls would, like, color them in and like scan in the pictures and post them on Tumblr. So it felt like a collaboration, and like that's something that I love so much about the internet, that it can act as a supportive community. Okay, come here. So I'm living at home in Vermont in the middle of nowhere before I came to New York, spending a lot of time on Tumblr. I'm, you know, reblogging work by artists that, you know, I love, but I feel like it's still getting lost on this platform just because there's so much going on. And, you know, I felt that a lot of the net art getting attention on sites like, you know, if it's Rhizome or Dump.fm is just super dude-centric, and that was frustrating to me because I just found so much of that work to be just kind of boring and empty, and yeah, it was kind of funny, but it just didn't mean anything, and my reality of the internet was so full of, you know, female-identified people, and I just wanted, like, everyone else to see that, too. So I started Art Baby, and it's not necessarily artists who are making digital art, but it's art that finds its life and circulates online, and that dynamic is really interesting to me. Work that travels back and forth between the digital and physical realms. And I use the word baby to like acknowledge inexperience when it comes to being, you know, functioning people in the art world, and also like as a term of affection and appreciation. Because, you know, I found looking back at my time in art school there's so much negativity and criticism, and I think that those are important, you know, tools. It's important to learn to be critical, but I just think all that negativity can be overwhelming and can be, like, sort of stifling. So now I'm just going to show some examples of work by artists who have been featured on Art Baby and whose work, I think, touches upon themes like feminist narcissism, webcam politics, giving space to seemingly insignificant female things, like doing your hair, doing your makeup, the color pink that are important to me. And it's work that I think is vulnerable and bold at the same time. So let's watch it. Thank you. That was Chloe Wise. This is a video by Killing.
Thank you. I'm Diana.
And I'm Emily.
And we're the founding members of the LaSai. In case you're not familiar with the LaSai, we're a blog that highlights women in music and art. We started around 2 years ago. I basically was living in New York and I didn't know anyone and I was having a really hard time. And Emily was in Denmark. And I sent her a message on Facebook and I was like, hey, do you want to start this blog with me? And didn't really explain what I wanted to do. It was just like, let's just share things that we think are cool. So we started just writing about things we like.
I think at first we were sort of like, either of us weren't writing for anything at the time, and we were like just writing about like books we saw that we liked and like music. I wrote about like Dive a lot, that band, and I think we just eventually figured out that we saw sort of like this void in like just like female identifying artists and musicians being covered, and we sort of wanted to be that hub that people could go to if they wanted to like read about like a new girl band or something like that. We would offer that to people.
Right. Yeah, we saw a lot of things on Tumblr and, you know, Bandcamp, and we would sort of just like send things back and forth, but there was never really like a spot that we saw on the internet that had all of that stuff in one place. So I think we sort of took it upon ourselves to be that that thing. So I don't know if I mentioned it before, but the site is broken up into music and art, and with music we do mostly interviews and reviews, and for art we do also interviews, and we write about zines and lots of other projects and exhibitions. So for art, we have a series called Girl Spotlight, where we interview an artist once a week, and actually Lauren and Grace are past Girl Spotlights. We ask different questions, I mean, depending on the medium that they use. We've interviewed photographers, illustrators, I mean, it's really, there isn't really limits to what we're willing to cover.
Yeah, and so we also do a lot of music coverage, like probably like equally half and half. And this is just like past people we've covered, and we came upon this like idea of just covering like female artists because we were really into like emo music when we were in middle school, and like as we got older and we got into college and found out about Riot Girl and everything, we realized that there weren't like any female like, artist role model. Like there weren't a ton. We really liked like Jenny Lewis when we were in high school, but we thought there was something missing there. And even though like Pitchfork and all these sites like cover female artists, it wasn't maybe not like as much coverage as men artists, or just even harder to find like female bands and like female artists. So we thought we started like sending things back and forth to each other, and we really just like used Bandcamp, and people started just suggesting artists to us that we've been able to find, and sort of become like this huge web of artists, like people just sending us stuff and us finding things, and it's like we've never like run out of artists to find. We always find something new to write about, and it's really helpful for us to like discover all these new things all the time, and I think like people are receptive to it as well. So we do like just mostly like standard reviews. We do like some interviews too, and we have like a staff of maybe like 10 writers writing for us, and people have been like, it's really nice to get everyone's like different perspective on writing.
Yeah, Emily and I aren't musicians, we're not artists, but we, you know, we appreciate it and we want to share it, so I think that's important.
Yeah. And so last, I think it was November, we released our first zine and tape compilation. We've been wanting to release a zine for a while, but it was sort of like something we always kind of like put on the back burner, like we were still in college and it wasn't like our first priority, but we had an opportunity to, and we used it as sort of like a physical format for the art that was featured on our site. So we reached out to artists we had Girl Spotlighted before, and they submitted original work for, I think Lauren and Grace were also both in the zine.
Yeah.
And we had an accompanying tape, and it was like a half was like rough like punk music, and the other was like soft dreamy music. And we also used like bands we had written about or bands that were like going to be written about in the future. It just was a really nice, like, everything we host is digital, and we wanted to, like, bring that to, like, a physical format.
Yeah, no, I think that was a big step for us because, you know, you can find our reviews on the internet or look at, you know, the artists that we profiled, but this was a really good physical manifestation of, you know, what LaSalle is about and what we aim to highlight. So to celebrate the zine and tape release, we had a showcase also in November in Brooklyn, and four acts from the tape presented, they performed, and we also had a little exhibition of the artist's work from the zine hung up on the wall. So it was sort of, it was a music and an art event, and then we also sold the event and the zine tape there. So it was really cool for us to see our readers come out, because we've gotten emails, you know, people retweeted us and retweeted, retumble our, reblog our stuff, and, sorry, getting all the social media things confused. So, I mean, it's really great to put a face to a name, and to see our readers come out. It was a rainy night, we didn't think anyone was going to come, and then I think, like, we tend to bring to important events.
I think it's hard since, you know, we only exist, like, really on the internet, that it's hard to, like, understand the reach you have. Like, I'm always like, oh, I only feel like my mom is, like, the one reading this, but, and it was really cool to see, like, people, I don't know, just share, like, what they thought of the site and, like, at the zine, and just knowing that we were making, like, if we can't, like, create art and music ourselves, like, we're at least giving, like, a platform to, like, all these other people that, like, we think are, like, really cool and important.
Yeah, I agree. And we were really happy with the first zine. We sold out of 100 copies within a few days, and we're planning the second one to release that in the fall, this upcoming fall.
So, hello,
I'm Claire.
I'm Kelly.
And we are the editors of Dirty Diamonds. Dirty Diamonds is an all-girl comic anthology. What we do is we do an open call for each issue where we ask for female comic creators to submit 2 to 4 page autobiographical comics around a central theme. We have 4 issues currently, and we are fundraising for our 5th issue, which is all about comics. So this picture is actually relatively historically significant to Dirty Diamonds. This is actually the night before Dirty Diamonds was founded. We were at an event in New York prior to MoCA, which is a comic festival that's held in New York every April.
It's actually next week.
It is. We'll be there, so come see us. There's an event called Drink and Draw Like a Lady, where basically any woman is more than welcome to show up and talk about comics and swap comics and read comics and drink as much wine as we can get our hands on.
Obviously.
Yeah. This is late in the evening. So we had just been to this event, and at the same time, this is 2011, there were a lot of anthologies coming out that were like 75% men, maybe 25% women. And personally, I was just kind of done with it. It was just like, we're 50% of A, the readership, and then B, also the artist, and we're not being represented equally. So I think I was bitching at you on a couch, and you were like, all right, let's start this anthology. So the other two ladies in this picture are Carrie Peach, who is all the way up here on the side, and Dragon Ropel, which is the lady up top, and they are the other two founding members. So here are our 4 issues. We've got 1 is yellow, 2 is blue, 3 is green, and then is this blacking of the heart here? Yeah, so for each issue we do a theme. They're very loose themes, so we're not very strict on how people interpret these themes. But we try to make it a really broad topic, and we ask people to do these autobiographical or loosely based on their real lives stories around these themes. So the first story, or the first theme, was alcohol. So it's a bunch of stories of us just getting belligerent and doing all kinds of nonsense. And then the second issue is when we actually did our first open call for submissions. The first issue was just the four of us getting together and being like, all right, we're going to make this anthology. We're going to see how this works out. It went really well, so we decided to do another one. So Jops was the first time we asked for submissions. We got a ton of really great submissions. And we had people telling us a whole range of stories around their experiences around jobs. Same is true with travel, and then breakups got kind of to a weird, dark place because we're asking people to tell really strange personal stories. But one of the great things about doing Dirty Diamonds this way is that we're capturing not only the artwork that people are making, or specifically that women are making, but we're also finding out a little bit of a slice of life about that person as well. So we're highlighting their work as an artist, but we're also letting them tell people a little bit more about themselves. So especially in this breakups issue, you get some really personal stories that people are telling you around these topics. And that's why the fifth issue that we're in the process of putting out right now is especially important to us, because the theme of comics was meant to be like, why do you do comics specifically as a medium? Like, why are you drawn to comics? What got you into comics? Why are you deciding to tell these stories about yourself through comics? So we've gotten some really amazing submissions.
Yes, there we go.
This is our beautiful cover. So this is going to be our first professionally printed book. We're slowly releasing ourselves from the photocopier. Yeah, I don't know if you want
to... So we're currently in the process of doing a Kickstarter for this. This is just a mock-up of the book, so it just looks really nice. But we have a Kickstarter going on, and we wanted to share the videos with you guys that we have with the Kickstarter. Let me make sure I pull up the correct one. Check us out and spread the word about ladies making comics about comics.
One of the things that's also really great about Dirty Diamonds is we were invited last year by the Library of Congress to be archived in their comics collection. They have also asked for any issues that we continue to produce. So I think there's something really special about the fact that we're asking women to write about themselves in a way that they want to write about themselves. And then the fact that it's being archived, I think, is really important for kind of women who are going to come after us and who will be able to look at this and know that we were real people and we experienced things that you experienced and we lived a life and you're not alone and you're not the first person to ever deal with these things.
Yeah, and part of the Library of Congress invitation was that they specifically sought us out because they recognize that there is an extreme underrepresentation of female comic creators, just universally. It's just not something that's as widely recognized as all of the male creators, which is just a universal theme that we're all talking about here. But it's true, and it's great that people are now sort of taking it upon themselves to be like, no, we're going to do this ourselves. We're going to highlight these people because they're out there and they're making fantastic work, and we want people to have access to it.
So here's a breakdown chart I got off of KidTrack this morning. So you can see we're actually over our pledge goal for today, but we still have we've got 2 weeks left to go. We still have to raise a little bit over $2,000 in order to be able to publish at our base goal. But what we really want is we really want to hit those stretch goals because we want to be able to pay the women who are in this book for having made something for us. Like, we think it's really important to make sure that the dollars go back to the women who are making these things in order to help them continue to make more things. So we table, and we go around, and we go to comic events, and you can find us because of our friendly blue banner, which you'll be able to see out in the tabling room. And we generally table with Carrie Pucho, I mentioned earlier, who is not only a constant contributor to Dirty Diamonds, but one of our greatest friends and hugely helpful to us in every step of the process all the time. So I brought something special for you guys to see since you all decided to come see us talk at this panel. We're going to be releasing this on the Kickstarter in the next couple weeks. It's a blooper reel. We did, based off of the video that we saw, so enjoy. Oh no. Wait, one more time and then we'll give up. Doesn't work for me, and I'm going to do it my own way. Because I know that's just the type of people we are. We're just like, I'm going to do this. I don't need you. But it's really great to know that there's other women out there who feel the same thing and are like, fine, I'll just make it myself. It's for you guys.
Yeah, I did an interview with The Enquirer last week where they were asking me about this show and like how Riot Girl has sort of influenced me as an artist. And I went into it being like, yeah, sure, whatever. I'll ask some questions. But then... as she was asking me these questions, I was like, you know, it did sort of just come to us where we were complaining about how there's not this outlet for women specifically, and it was sort of just a, like, fuck you, we're going to do it ourselves mentality, which I think is kind of Riot Girl-esque, where it's just all about highlighting, like, women in an underground scene and sort of just supporting each other and making sure that we're, you know, if we're complaining about not being represented, then we might as well represent ourselves and each other and just get it done.
Well, also, I just wanted to, like, touch on that, on the crowd sharing, the female crowd sharing thing. Like, because, like, Grace brought up a great point, like, as myself getting into digital art, net art, and what have you, and, like, you know, yeah, the major outlets, like, Dump.fm and Rhizome and stuff, like, is extremely male-centric, and then you start discovering these female artists, and I realize, like, my favorite kind of art and expression online is, like, the feminist art that's going on, and then it's like a rabbit hole too, because you start like getting into it, and then like I find like Peachy Keen through like Grace and like Salt Magazine for Grace as well, and I was just wondering if like you guys too could share maybe like your experience like on surfing the web, like what would be like some great resources for people to go to discover more work, like how did it happen for you guys, like was it Tumblr pretty much and like.
Yeah, mostly Tumblr, and just the amount of time that I spend online, I think. And just, yeah, I think if you are curious, like, it's there to find. You just have to spend time looking. I think that's what it is. But, yeah, I mean, at least all of the networks that I'm in, like, everyone's good about, you know, in interviews mentioning each other and, like, talking about each other. So I just feel like if you... find one thing, yeah, exactly. Like you can just keep going forever.
Yeah, just keep going forever.
I really, I do like how you guys sat too, by the way.
Yeah,
but, because Lauren coming from like the youngest on the panel here today, like I just I feel like I'm sorry. I'm the way, but no, just like. The way that your Tumblr or the Peachy King Collective works and stuff is like replicates like the kind of like zine format, you know, and like coming in from into publication about crowd sharing. Like that's really what it's about, spreading the word about these other artists and stuff like that. But I'm wondering, Lauren, do you think about zines, the zine process, or were you into zine culture at any point, like as a teenager? Oh, you still are one, but like.
Yeah. Yeah. I like books a lot, but I don't think that way, and it's really hard for me to think that way, like, it's just not how my brain works, I guess, but...
Your sentiment's totally there.
It's totally, it's just like, it's not always, like, accessible, and I think what makes, like, zines so great is when they are, like, really accessible, and sometimes when you have to, like, order them online, like, and, like, sometimes you just, like, don't have the money to do that, and, like, everyone's out here struggling, and sometimes it's just, like, makes more sense in my head, like, why, I mean, it's amazing to have everything in front of you as a physical object, because then it, like, it becomes this, like, relic, like, object, like, oh my god, like, look at all of this that, like, happened, and we did, like, we did it, but I just, like, don't, it's not how my brain works.
And there's something to be said about the internet as its own art medium, because, like, I know there's a bunch of people, one thing about just zines and comics is a lot of people with that accessibility thing in mind, and just the cost of printing is really too much for a lot of people, so there's a lot of comics done as PDFs that are done as ebooks. And that makes them universally reachable by people all over the world.
Yeah.
But then there's also something to be said for using the internet as like a hyper-narrative tool. So there's things you can do where like you can have a comic with little GIFs going on, and you can have it where there's different entry points where you can click into the comic and just sort of explore it in a way that you wouldn't ever really be able to do in a physical way. It's sort of like a choose your own adventure type thing you can do on the internet and just have a completely different interactive experience. So, I mean, the internet as its own platform can sort of function as a zine.
Yeah, even if you don't have a computer, you go to a library or something, it just, like, becomes, sometimes, like, in the production of art and, like, printing, like, because money is such a struggle, like, with everyone who makes art, unless, like, you just have a lot of money, which some people do, which is, like, really cool. Like, that would be so cool, but it's just, like, it becomes, like, a lot about, like, class sometimes, because, and you don't even mean it to, you're just trying to be, like, yo, I'm just trying to, like, make something, like, but then it sort of becomes about, like, trying, like, I don't know. It's just, like, definitely always a struggle to try to, like, make your ideas a physical, like, manifestation.
Well, and I think, like, that is, like, still, like, it's just evolved from, like, the 80s and 90s, the zine, like, because it is, like, the internet in that kind of way, like, it's this, like, wild sharing, because before it would be, like, you're trading stamps for a dollar, or, like, you're not even paying, like, you just know another zine artist, and you guys just mail art each other, but now it's, like, kind of different accessibility, like, you know, and the zine has now become a little bit more like an art object. Like, I mean, when I was going through the zines that are in the Alien G show and like seeing how they were mailed, like they didn't put them in envelopes or anything like that. They were literally just stapled on the front or taped with like, you know, tape. Oh my god, like when I saw that, like this, like that's like a sin, you know. And like, but today, yeah, if I had like $5, that's why I buy zines from artists too. Like, I see it as a form of like,
yeah,
financial support,
definitely.
Like, you know. But I was just saying, I don't mean to
talk. I have a question that's related. So if money were no issue for all of you, a question for everyone, what is a project that you would do, like whether it's a print publication or an art performance or a show or anything, what would you do?
Cool.
You have all of them. Like money was not an issue.
I'm actually
all the resources.
Working on a project right now where I'm making the world's largest scrunchie. It's been like pretty chill, like it's been pretty cool, but like elastic, like the elastic is super expensive. So maybe I just buy a lot of that. And then with like the extra stuff, maybe just like make like some slingshots or something. But that's like that. I was like, oh, that's scrunchie. Because I was like, yo, I want to make the world's largest t-shirt. But that t-shirt is, like, the size of a football field. So I was like, no, I can't
How
do that.
Big is
there's no world's largest scrunchie yet, so I can just make it however big I want, yeah. But, you know, I don't want anyone to be like...
You want your record to stand.
Yeah, I don't want someone to be like, oh, okay, like, that's just, like, 2 inches bigger than a regular scrunchie. That's just an oversized scrunchie. I want it to be, like, you know, like, boom, like, multiple people can, like, pull on it. So that's what I would do for right now, at this exact moment.
Okay.
That might change.
Yeah, I mean, mine would be to, like, the next step would be to have a physical space, a physical exhibition space. Yeah, with, like, program. I'm really into, I had a show on Art Baby that was teen art, so I'm interested in that. Like, teen art workshops and that sort of thing, working with, like, teen girls and... Yeah, that's
what would you have to do?
I think like growing the showcase was really amazing, and I would want to throw more events.
Yeah, I want like Beyonce to play like.
But, no, I think just be having like the ability to, yeah, just throw like a really awesome showcase. We like put like streamers up and stuff, but we were able to like make it more of like we were lucky enough to have the space to do it in and like have it. Like do it for free, but we were just being able to like really like deck it out and make it like super cool.
Yeah.
Step one, I would quit my day job. And be a much happier person.
Yeah.
Like that's how we combat the struggle of like where do you find the funds to get something done is like I go to work every Monday at 9 a.m. and I sit in all these meetings and it's just like and I go to the job interviews and they ask me, you know, it's like are you dedicated to this? It's just like, no, I need to pay my bills so I can go be in my studios in the evening. But that's not the answer. So it's like, if we can make things without having to give up 4
40 hours a week to something you only kind of care about, you know?
Yeah, it would give you more time commitment. And I think in like the way that we're doing our Kickstarter, number one, doing a Kickstarter is the fastest way to be like, holy shit, you can spend thousands of dollars really fast, which is kind of scary. But it also makes us realize, you know, we wish that we could be raising more to support these artists more. So I would love to just have excess money to just throw their way and be like, yeah, thanks, just here you go. I love you.
You're all so pretty here.
This is less of a question and it's more of a comment, but with Peachy Keenan, I guess I find it really interesting and also inspiring because as someone that got into music in the 90s, I'm still very hesitant about the internet. It just took me last week to make a story and read a soul magazines because I was like, no, too much, like putting myself on the internet. So I've always been very hesitant to, you know, selfie thing and video thing. And I've sort of resisted. I knew there was like a cool side to it, but it's kind of taken me a while to open up to it. So I find it really interesting to hear young women talk about sort of the feminist side of it and sort of like putting yourself out there and being empowered and that sort of thing, because it's just like you see so much of this on the internet and every day I'm just like, oh my god, you know. But then to see these really like, I don't know, to see it in that way is just really awesome and interesting and definitely inspiring.
I definitely think that they're so valid, like just in terms of like representation, just like it's just really important to like to document yourself and like, and if you're kind of weird, to like share with the world, because like everyone should just know how cool and weird you are, you know, because like why the hell not, you know, like I just
need more cool weird people.
Yeah, I just think it's like, I don't know, it's really important to me that like you can be in so much control over like your image now, and you can build it. You don't even really have to like do anything that cool, but you can like become a thing like just by like taking pictures on your like computer, and like that can be like, there are people who like all they do is like take pictures of themselves on like and have like websites with advertisements on them, and that's like how they make their revenue, because people just want to like look at them, and that's so cool. I wish I could just be like, oh, what's up, and then like people would just be like clicking on the ads, like, that would be like so cool. like it's kind of just like, why the fuck not, like, you know, like, yeah, this is what I look like. And it's like kind of like really radical to like just like not. Like I think a lot of people like, ah, like selfies, like which I don't really like that word because it's just like weird. Like, I think it sounds like too like, I don't know, it's just like a weird word. But I think like it's just like fun, and I think everyone has like a natural like instinct sometimes to like want to do it, especially now if you're like young, like as young as I am. It's just like super like weird, I guess. That it's just like a thing, like, oh, like let me take a picture of myself. I look like really good. Like everyone like needs to know. Like, and it's just like, but also like, oh my god, like I really like the way these like colors like all look together. Like, but in reality it's just like,
what do you think about it though? It's like the medium is so much different than like the Joan Fujaki stuff that's an alien. She like Overnight to July did, it was just in the format of VHS tapes, you know, so it's just like the internet is, you're doing, or these women or you or anybody is doing the same thing, but it's just more accessible, which is like for you saying before. So in that respect, I'm like, oh, this is awesome and fascinating because so many more people can see that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like it's also really interesting to think of how like squash that like whole idea of self-representation has been in a way, like the fact that like I'm just kind of trying to explore the idea of self-portraits, and I remember you said something, it was like self-portraits are like an inherently feminist thing to do, and I used to like sit for hours when I was like 17 just like taking photos of myself for like 3 hours. I would just like do that, I don't know how or like why, but then like now that I'm thinking about it and I'm seeing like women photographers who like do a lot of self-portraits or portraits of women, and I feel like there's like society being like, no, that's vain, like don't right. do it, like the selfie, like that thing. I'm just like, just let me do my,
because you're taking up space and right, you're right, like right. look at me and yeah, it's
But that's a powerful thing. It should be looked at, or at least looked at in the way that we want to look at, exactly. As opposed to the way they want to.
It's a common theme in comics too. Like, there's no shortage of women doing autobiographical stories about themselves. It's just a really common thing. And I think, even though like you're not, yeah, it is a comic. It's like you're not an interesting character inherently to somebody, but you're putting yourself out there as a character in a story, and just you're making it because it's significant to you, and hoping that somebody is going to maybe relate to this experience that you had. But yeah, it's valid.
Just even like as a way of like exploring who you are and like finding out who you are, and,
or even just like trying to figure out what you look like,
right?
Because you don't look like how you look in the mirror. You're mirrored, so.
Well, you're never gonna know what you look like.
I know, so that's kind of like
if you will only ever see yourself in photographs in a mirror, like you will never see yourself. Which I remember when I realized that, I was like, wait, what?
Whoa!
Yeah. I'll be like drawing myself in a comic sometimes, and I'll be like, I don't really look like that. I'll be like, should I draw myself fatter? Should I like fix my hair? So it's you're playing with your image constantly, because that's the only way that you're able to put yourself out there.
I think there's something about the internet too, where it's constantly producing its own media. Like the people on the internet make stuff to be on the internet. So it's just like there's this constant stream of images being produced by people merely on based on the fact that they're a presence on the internet. And I think it's really important that women are a part of that game, because we need to show that we are a presence in the world and therefore a presence on the internet. But I think there's something kind of inherently a little unsettling about the fact that it's all free on the internet. Like, you can get all of this media for free, and it is difficult to talk someone into giving you money for something like here, pay a little bit of money to see my video. And I think there's something about artists today are making work, and you constantly have to be making something and putting it on the internet, and day after day after day after day, because that's how the stream of media on the internet works, but you're not making any money on it. And it's just like, I don't know how this is going to be sustainable in the long term, and I don't have an answer for this. I don't know if you ladies may have an answer for this. But
oh, I got
one. Oh, that solved all my problems.
No, well, I think it's all very new. And I think eventually it'll be contextualized to pay people back. But like, well, there was like, Petra Courtright did a video series. She's a net artist, and well, she does like YouTube videos and stuff like that. So she started, she did a project, I forget who she paired with, because it's like, I suck. But anyway, the amount of views equaled into like a dollar amount of how much that video was. And then Philips like auction did like a net based like show where they like auctioned off like net based artworks and stuff, so you could like own a video and stuff like that. Or like Raphael Rosendahl, like you can actually own like his websites. He like sells them, and then like the collector owns like whatever, the URL or anything like that. So there's different things, and I think with comics right now, what I've been seeing a lot, like what you guys are talking about, is the PDFs. And like that's the thing with comics, you really do have to be like a bit of like a cock tease on your website. Like, you can't give it all away for free. Yeah. Like, you know, you do little like short previews of your work and stuff. But I do think a lot of people, like me, for instance, like as a viewer of comics, like I get a lot for free online. And I, you know, I feel bad about it. And I invite you guys here.
No, but there's other ways that like, because it's like that whole thing where you can download music for free on the internet, but if you download music for free, you should go to the show and buy some merch to support the tour. It's like, I think there is a certain level of exchange where if you know the person as a presence on the internet and they come to your town, you go out and you see them and you support that in encouragement to keep them on the internet. But I don't think it's a one-to-one ratio yet, and that would be great. Can we have some of that?
Yeah, I think, and as for us as like a being a blog, like we don't have ads, like we're not making money off of it at like this point, and it's just like we've discussed it, like how do we, like if we ever wanted to like monetize this, how would we do it, because we don't want to make this like ads like all over the site. We think that would like totally like detract from like what we were doing, and we were like, it'd have to be like stuff we supported and something. So I don't know, it's just like,
so what do you guys think of like there was some kind of grant system for like websites like the LaSai and another kind of
that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if like your city or your state might like, if you like propose your project for them, but then that would be like a completely new thing too, because I haven't heard of that happening yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, well, I would say it would be like, where did it, yeah, where's your IP address?
Well, I would say I work for Queens Council on the Arts, so if you're an artist based in Queens, we have funded artists who, like, produce, like, they produce work in real life, I guess, but they've documented it through websites, and that was, like, part of their proposal for their grant.
So it's possible.
So move to Queens. I don't know about the other boroughs.
It's not happening in Philly yet. The Pew actually supported this panel today, so.
Thank you, Pew.
Yeah.
I have a quick question, unless you have it.
Go for it.
So a lot of the work here seems to be congregated around ideas of community or maybe sort of sharing. My question is, what point or what sort of structures of criticism or criteria of caliber do you use? What makes good feminist digital art? What makes bad feminist digital art? Or is that not the point at all? So it's completely inclusive.
It's pretty lame when it's like only white women or like lame when there's like no, like it's only like women who are like, I don't know. It's if it doesn't represent a large spectrum, then it's just kind of like lame. That's like really important to represent a large spectrum of different types of women.
I mean, we edit people out of Dirty Diamonds. Like, it's a fact. We get submissions and we go through them, and there are people who we don't, whose comments we don't accept. But I think for us, that's about maintaining a certain level of aesthetic. And I also think at the baseline, as the editors, that's a choice we get to make. You know, like, it's really up to the viewer to decide if something is good or bad, and we all happen to be the people who just make that decision. And I think that's another moment where it's like, if you aren't liking the stuff you're seeing out there, go make something and make it be the thing that you want to see out there, or collect the people together who make the things that you want to see.
Yeah, and for comics particularly, since it's also a storytelling medium, there's something to be said for, are you telling a good story? Because it's fine and it's interesting to hear all these perspectives from these women making these pieces, but you know, if it doesn't make sense as a story, then that's something that we have to consider as part of the art form.
Yeah, I mean, you can't deny that it's subjective, you know. I get lots of submissions of things that I don't, you know, they just don't make sense to me in certain ways, but it has so much to do with personal taste. I mean, of course, yes, I want to be inclusive and I try to represent as many different kinds of art as I can, but at the end of the day, if you look through Art Baby, so much of it, you know, it's the same in a lot of ways, because I just think those are the kinds of things I want to share. So, it's part of it is to be inclusive, but yeah, you can't deny that you're going to be subjective when it comes to.
Would you go as far as say it's a responsibility to be inclusive, or?
I think you don't necessarily have to be all inclusive to the point of you're sort of biting the bullet and accepting things you may not personally appreciate, but you know,
it's like, don't reject people because they're trans, or don't reject people because they're of a different color, or, you know, a bit different body type. It's like,
show them where there's room for them to improve their artwork.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's, like, even if you do reject someone, just be supportive of them and say, like, thank you for making this, like, you're on a really great path, and just keep working at it.
And I think, like, as far as us with music, like, we don't, like, for art, we pick it ourselves, but for music, like, we get a lot of things submitted to us, and we don't, like, at the end of the day, it's, like, what we like, and it's our taste, and we have, like, a lot of writers with different tastes that we're able to cover a lot, but we don't, like, we're not a site that's, like, rating these, like, like, albums and stuff. We're doing it because we, like, try and stay, like, as positive as we can, and it's just, it's what we like, we're not gonna put something on there and, like, write how we hate it, though, kind of be, like, counterproductive.
Just, like, that question in itself is, like, kind of, like, exactly the point of this panel. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in a lot of ways, like, I don't know how to phrase this, because I'm not trying to be, like, a dick. I'm, like, really not. I'm like really not trying to be big. But like you would, you.
I think while any,
if anyone else can curate anything, like why can't, like, it's just the same way anyone else would curate anything. Like, because I like this.
All women, but not all women are doing fantastic work. So, I mean, you want to support them, but you also want to, you know, make them aim higher.
And you want people to come look at your thing. So if you want people to come look at your thing, you want to put work that people want to look at, you know? Like, I think there's a bottom line if you do need to appeal to a viewer base of some variety. Because otherwise you're working in a vacuum and nobody's looking at what you're doing.
And you don't want it to be the kitsch of women, like, this is all women making things. Like, it should be, these are great women making great things.
Or, like, these are just great things.
Yeah.
Like, period. Like, you don't even, you don't even have to know that a woman made them until maybe you read the name. And then maybe if you read the name, you don't even know, you know? Like,
it sort of inherently sucks to have to be, like, we're only featuring women artists, and we have to mention that as, like, a qualifier for the book, because otherwise people would assume that it's men.
Question,
so, the criticism is not important?
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
I'm trying to
I don't know if we got anywhere with it. I kind of forgot.
And the question of, like you, you as curators, but then as critiquing individual, I mean, kind of focus this further. I don't know, maybe drawing off of what you're asking.
Oh, no, but, no, it's like, I think it's important in any sort of community or any sort of culture, right, that one thing, if it is a completely supportive or a community that's there to support each other without any sort of criticality, right, without any sort of like sharpness to it, right, that's fine, that's the intended objective of that community. But one of the things that happens is that there's no criticality, it also makes it that much easier to be co-opted or disadvantaged by someone. Or misunderstood, or missold, or misrepresented by some other. If it doesn't have its own system of criticality, it doesn't have its own system of trajectory. Right? And that's, I mean, that's just a question.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to surround myself with people that like I feel safe and comfortable with, and think the same kind of things as me. And that's really, like, what it comes down to. Just, that's literally what, like, the human experience comes down to. Just trying to find people who, like, kind of get it on the same page as you. So, and that's, like, kind of what it is.
I think, yeah, with us, we, this was, like, our chance. Like, I've written before for, like, newspapers or, like, publications. And, like, you either get, like, assignments or you have to, like, pitch things that, like, they like. And this was our chance to be, like, here's everything that we like. We hope you like it, too. And that sort of thing.
Well, I invited you guys all here because I like you. I mean, I have to say, too, like, from the side, Grace and Lauren, like, there is, like, a definite linear connection between all of you guys, like, both aesthetically and within the community, like, as I've been, like, researching it. And then all with Kelly and Claire from Dirty Diamonds, like, that's more, like, my community here, I feel, in Philadelphia, and, like, my comics interest. But comics art, for some reason, can't completely get into with like fine art. I don't know. They coexist, but like they don't intermingle. But I think that these same things are happening in this world and in this world. So that's how that whole thing just came together. But aesthetically, even though if we're gonna be like more like critical, I guess, or critique, but. I definitely see like an aesthetic lineage between like the imagery that is being put out from what you guys are doing online right now. It's definable, like, for sure.
Yeah, there's not as much of an interest in making beautiful art necessarily, it's more than it's honest and it's just trying to get a certain aesthetic across. And that's universal in this online work and in comics where people are just like, you might not be the best artist, but you can be super successful because you're just making really interesting stuff. So I think that aesthetic is becoming more prominent across art forms.
I mean, personally, I think of myself, I went to school for art. I think think of myself as making art with a capital A. I have like fine art that I make that is different from my comic work, but I'm also really working now to try to find that hybrid moment that is the combination of like the drawings and comics I like to do and comics as a storytelling medium, and then the type of content I work with in my fine art and using comics to kind of ask questions in the same way you can use fine art to ask questions. But that's just me.
I think a big part of it could be like time. Like you can do so, you know, like I can put up a show on Art Baby in 15 minutes. You know, it could take, you know, it takes days to install in a physical space. So for me, you know, when I have a job where I have to work 40 hours a week and this is the thing I do on the side, like that's important. That's something that's great about the internet.
I also think the internet gives you like a reach that you wouldn't have in a physical format. Like we can post something and then within hours it'll have like 1,000 views, and that's crazy. And then you'll go on Facebook and you'll see like this many people shared it, and it's just, it's mind blowing.
Yeah, and I think like for me personally, it takes a really long time to even just write like one review. So it's really nice to be able to just like post that all digitally. You probably would get it done, but we're doing something like physical. I just would never do it. That's just like my personality.
Well, even for our first scene, we were basically new to putting out a zine, so that took us.
It took us like eight months
to figure everything out and plan the event. And we were working really slowly because it was the first time we were doing it, and we wanted to do it right. But
very time consuming.
It's very exhausting. Product, and then you're just like, I never want to do this again, but then you have to get up and start over.
Also, like, there is nowhere else to go with this, like, some of this work. Like, no one is gonna, there's no gallery. There are people from all over, so it would just it would just be prints, or people would have to send work, and that's expensive. It's just like, there's nowhere else to do it, like, where people can just see it, and there's no physical space where people are like, yo, like, come bring, like, all your webcam selfies of, like, all your weird friends, and, like, well, I'll just, like, put them up. Like, no one has ever said that to me before.
Well, there's something to be said about experience, and if you're experiencing this work online, it makes sense to display it in that manner as well, so.
And then I feel like what you were saying about, like, sitting in front of a computer for hours, like, by yourself, like, eating food, and, like, just, like, upset, like, getting yourself, like, so entranced into it, like, I think that is an experience, like, in and of itself, like, being able to go through that, the same way that the people that made the work probably got to that place of making that work.
Yeah, internet art is interesting because it is such, like, a lonely experience when you're viewing it, but it is all about, like, people's lives. So you're doing this really lonely activity of connecting with somebody in a really disconnected way. Like, it reminds me, I had a professor once who did a show slash performance piece, like, in the early 90s, where he started a blog where he just lived in this gallery for a month, and he would blog about the people that walked in, and then he'd be like, you can't read it, you have to go home and go on the blog to read it. So it's weird how you make these like really personal connections, but you have to be alone, you have to be staring at the screen in order to actually experience it.
Okay, well this might be oversharing, but I literally like got my period right when I interviewed her. So,
are you guys hanging? Yeah, we'll be here.
Diane David.
Yeah, I went to IC too, but I graduated like a year before.
Oh, cool, that's so weird.
I live in Philly.
I'm still in Philly.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, yeah, I was just
like,
Yeah, it was awesome.
Thanks for coming.
Not the worst of that.
Right.